Well, the title of my talk today is called, What Now? The journey into God's word being fulfilled in your life. It only takes a little bit of reading of the Bible or just flicking it over randomly from here to here and just flicking through a page, and you'll soon discover that God continually speaks to people. God speaks all the time. In fact, the first verse and few words in the Bible at the very beginning, the book of Genesis, which means beginning, it says, in the beginning, God said. And from that opening statement, we see God speaking to human beings all the time. From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, from Noah who says, build the ark, from Abraham who says, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to give you a child, and from that child is going to come the blessings of the nations of the earth. From Moses, who said, go down and set my people free. From Joseph, who had a dream that you're going to be an amazing leader and you're going to be a savior and a rescuer to my people. To Joshua, who says, take my people and lead them into the promised land. To the prophets like Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who spoke to individuals and kings and whole nations. Daniel, who was in the lion's den, who interpreted dreams that God had sent. Jesus himself, his disciples, and even in the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it says these, blessed is he who actually reads these words, the words of God. From the very beginning to the very end, we cannot escape the fact that God is a God who speaks continually. And he speaks about his love for us, his plans for us, his purpose for us. Sometimes it's very specific. Sometimes it's general, and he will speak to you according to what you need in any given moment of time. But when God speaks to us, maybe as we read the Bible and something stands out to us, and we just know in our heart of hearts that God has spoken to me to encourage me about my life present or life future. Or maybe it's through a prophecy where somebody comes and prays for you and speaks over your life, and you have a sense that you know God is speaking into your heart, and it could be either right now and relevant to your situation now, or unfolding something down the line for you to get excited about and encourage you to pursue God's wonderful plans and purpose for your life. Or maybe it's like through a sermon like I am doing now. And as you sit in your seat and somebody is speaking, you just sense God is speaking to you. Or like when Jenny stood up and told us how God loves us and how he wants to refresh us. And maybe that is you. And you said, you know, you just read my mail, Jenny. It was like, that's exactly how I feel today. And you knew in your heart that God wants to refresh you, not just now, not just this week, but through the course of your life. He wants to have moments where you tap into God and he downloads strength and blessing and refreshment and renewal in your life so you can live life not as a drudgery, but as a joy. God is a God who continually speaks through the presence of his word. But the question is this. Once God has spoken to us, what now? How do we journey into the things that God has for us? The promises of God, the purposes of God, whether they're great and grand or just like for tomorrow and this week. How do we move from A to B to fully lay hold of the greatness and the goodness that God has for us? Now, there's a great misunderstanding often about God, his word, and his ways. And this is it. The misunderstanding can be just because God has spoken his intent and his desire into our lives, sometimes we can fall into the thinking that it will automatically happen. Because God can do it, and God wants to do it, doesn't necessarily mean that he will do it. Just because God wants something wonderful in your life, he wants to help you, provide for you, bless you, lead you, and guide you, and he can cause all of those things to come to pass, doesn't necessarily mean that they actually will. Now, when God speaks to us, he moves heaven and earth. He sends his presence and his power. And even angels can come from the farthest parts of the universe to shift and to move things so that you are have all the resources that you need actually to live God's purpose for your life. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that angels are God's servants sent to serve and help those who will inherit salvation. Those are the believers in Jesus. So every single person has put their faith in Jesus. The Bible teaches that God will send angels to help you in the purposes of God as you come into his fullness. So he gives you the presence of his spirit and the presence of his power and even his angels. He will do everything he can. In other words, he will play his part to see his desire and his purpose coming to pass in your life. But there's one thing God can't do. He can't play your part for you. He can hold up his end of the deal, his end of the bargain, but he can't hold your end up for you. You see, a relationship with God is a two-way street. He speaks to us. He gives us promises. He gives us a landscape of wonderful purposes. He gives us a dream and a vision for our lives. He says, I love you and I want to help you and I want to provide for you and I want to bless you and I want to guide you in your life. But there's a part to play that we have to do. We have to journey into the purposes of God. Play our part. Nearly every promise in the Bible has a condition. Nearly all prophecies have a condition. Now, some prophecies in the Old Testament are like seed, like arrows rather, where God will prophesy something and nothing will stop it happening because it's got a divine purpose, like when he prophesied that Jesus would board. Nothing was going to stop that happening. But most of the prophecies, especially in the New Testament era, in the New Testament period, in the period of time since Jesus has arrived, prophecies and when God speaks to us and leads us and guides us to bless us, they're not like arrows, they're more like seeds. They're seeds of God's desire for your life and seeds of God's intent, seeds of a vision and seeds of a plan. And they're seeds that are sown into your heart and life that we have to water and nurture and cultivate, that in the course of time, as we give attention to them, we may actually bear the fruit of them and live in the goodness and the fulfillment of them. So see God's plan and words and promises and desires over your life as more like seeds that we have a responsibility to sow and to nurture and to cultivate in our lives. So, I'd like to just briefly talk about, I think it's three things I've written down, three things that we can do to journey into God's purposes and the fulfillment of his promise and his desire and word spoken into your lives, both generally and personally. Three things. The first thing, which is absolutely essential if we're going to see this come to pass, is allow faith to be created in our hearts. When God speaks to you, the first thing we have to do is open our hearts and allow faith to be created in our hearts through the power and the presentation of that word. So when Jenny stood up this morning and said, God wants to refresh you and renew your strength, and he wants to help you, not just now, but in the moments that you face each day in the weeks and as the months go by. We could either say, oh, my life is too stressed out and I'm too at the end of my rope and my day is too busy for me even to think about God. If you were in my workplace, if you had my kids and my family life, if you had to cope with the stresses that I had to cope with, there is no way that God could refresh me in the moment because I couldn't even give him a moment. And immediately we can close our heart and crush faith because we're disqualifying God's word into our lives through our rationale and reasoning and doubt. It's essential that we don't do that. It's essential that we actually see that God is greater than our circumstances and his word is more powerful than the things that come against us. It's essential that in those moments when we receive a promise from God, whether it's like something that Jenny gave this morning, or we're reading in the Bible, or we sing it on a screen, it touches our hearts, or you get it through a message, that we stop and we open our hearts and we mingle God's word with faith that we may continue to move forward into all that he has for us. Did you know that the Israelites had a wonderful promise through the prophet Moses? And he says, come out of Egypt and I'm going to give you a land of your own. But they trekked through the desert and they came to the Jordan River and they never passed from the desert into the promised land. The first generation of Israelites never did that. God had to wait for a whole new generation of children to be raised up to pass from the desert into the land flowing with milk and honey. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, it says the reason why they were unable to journey into the promise. And it says this, because they didn't mingle the word that they heard with faith. They heard it, but for some reason, they closed their heart off to the fact that God could do it and that he was with them. They saw giants in the land and they go, oh, we can't go over those giants, will beat us up real bad. They saw fortified castles in the land. It says, we're shepherds. We're not used to storming castles and taking castles. We'll never be able to do it. There's too many of them and there's too little of us. And they rationalized that it wouldn't work for them. They were disqualified. They were too weak. It wouldn't happen for them. And in that moment, they closed their hearts and they didn't mingle the word with faith. So they stopped in the desert and they didn't journey into the fullness of what God has for them. I want to say to you today that there's some of you here today who really need to allow God to encourage your hearts and allow him to put faith in your heart for your future. And don't allow circumstance or difficulty or even discouragement and failure and lost opportunity to cause you to close your heart to the possibility that God can do it, he wants to do it, and as you journey with him, he will do it. There's a wonderful, challenging and tragic verse in the book of Exodus that when Moses was sent to the Israelites to set the Israelites free from the cruel bondage of the Egyptian ruler Pharaoh, it says that the leaders of Israel could not hear or take in the words of Moses because of their discouragement. Some of you may even be discouraged because of circumstances, or it's a long time coming. And you are feel the door of your heart closing to faith. I want to encourage you, keep your heart open to God's word and allow faith to be created. For the scriptures say we walk not by sight, that's by our rationale, by what we can work out, by all of our own efforts humanly. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We walk into the purposes of God by faith. Faith moves us forward. Faith energizes us. And it attracts the power and the presence of God into our lives. So the first thing is this. When God speaks, our first responsibility is this. Allow that word to create faith in your heart. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of God. It has a power to create faith, and it is essential that you allow faith to be created and you hold on to it. Some of you need to do that. So, nope, I've got to get a grip and open my heart. Allow faith to be created. Secondly, some of you don't have a problem with faith. You believe God. You're up for it. And it's not an issue or a challenge to you. But the second point that I'm going to mention is the challenge. We can cooperate with God's word to journey forward into it. There is a collaboration and a cooperation that needs to take place if we are going to move into the purposes of God. James says this, some of you say, I don't need works, I have faith. And book of James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Faith and action go hand in hand. If we've truly captured the word of God and allowed it to rest in our hearts by faith, there's something we have to do. We have to train ourselves in preparation for that word coming to pass. we have to make decisions in the light of what God is saying to us. Some of you have faith that God wants to do something for you, bring you into something. But there's a decision to make and an aligning of your life in light of that calling upon your life. You see, when I was first called into ministry, I was 19, nearly 20. 28th of February, 1982. And God spoke to me. I heard God's call and purpose for my life. And I knew he'd called me to serve him. I knew he'd called me to teach and to preach, even though I never had. Never even been to church up to that point, apart from maybe a christening or something. I knew that he'd called me to be a leader in his work. And I knew, in the light of that, there were certain things that I had to do in order to see this promise and this destiny and this purpose that God had for me to come to pass. I knew there's things I had to do. I knew I had to repent from my sin, because there was stuff in my life that was going to stop me moving forward. So that's the first thing I had to do. I had to let go of a few things. The second thing is, I had to start reading his word, because I knew he called me to proclaim his word. He said, proclaim my name to all people. Well, how can I do that if I don't know it? So I had to start reading it every day and studying it regularly. And I had to start praying, because how could I be a servant of God if I didn't know him? So I had to start praying. I remember the first time I prayed. Do you know, I couldn't pray for 5 minutes. I'd never prayed before. So this is what I did. In the light of what God had called me to do, you know what? I got an alarm clock and I put it by the side of my bed. 5 minutes. This is true now. I'm not making this up. 5 minutes. And I began to pray for 5 minutes. And then the alarm would go, oh, I've done 5 minutes. That's how I started. And I'd do that for about a week or two. And then I said, you know what? I think I might try 10 this week. But 10 minutes by the side of my bed. The other thing, when I first started to pray, I just started to pray in my head. And somebody told me it would be a good idea to speak it out loud. So it helps you concentrate. So I started speaking it out. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the things I've done wrong. I come into your presence. And I began to pray. 10 minutes, the alarm, 10 minutes. Then it went to 20 minutes. Then 30 minutes. 40 minutes. And when I got to an hour, I threw the alarm clock away, figuratively speaking. Took a little while to get there. But there were certain things I knew I had to do. Do you know another thing I had to do in order to fulfill God's purpose in my life? I had to stop being lazy. Oh, I was lazy. I was a really lazy person. I mean, really lazy. I mean, no, this was lazy to the... I know, I'll tell you how lazy I was. I was in a meeting once and a preacher was preaching. He says, this is what I want you to do. Go home tonight and ask the Lord if there's anything in your life that will hinder you from fulfilling your ministry. So I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I went home next to the bed where I put my alarm clock. And I said, Lord, is there anything in my life that would stop me from fulfilling your purpose in my life? And do you know what happened? I heard this word as clear as day. And I knew it was from the Lord because I didn't know what it meant. No, I'm being honest with you. I didn't know what it meant. I had to look it up in the dictionary. I heard this word, lackadaisical. Yeah, lackadaisical. It's been just a laissez-faire, laid-back, easy-going, put-it-off-tomorrow kind of attitude. And I thought, lackadaisical, what does that mean? And I went to the dictionary, looked it up, and that's what it said. And I knew that God was on my case, and I had to make some adjustments in my life in the light of the things that he wanted me to do, to stop being lazy. What else did I have? Well, there's a whole load of stuff. I'll tell you another thing I had to do. This is just some example. I remember I was invited to be to help out running a little children's work in a place called Pennyland, just off the M4 in Cardiff, with a bunch of kids from 11 of 7 to 11, and I would make the squash, occasionally help with a quiz and join in the games. And it was Friday night. Now, Friday night youth club is a bad time for a 20-year-old to commit to something, because Friday night is the night when you get invited out, because all the cool things are happening. But I committed myself to joining this club and helping this church out. And I remember driving up the M4 on the way to this Penylan Youth Club, and I really didn't want to go. And I just wanted to quit and pack it all in, because I was missing out on all the cool stuff, all the fun stuff. And as I was driving down the M4, these words came into my mind, clear as a bell. Faithful in the little things, and you will be trusted with the much. And I knew at that moment in time that my future ministry and the things that God had me to plan for in terms of leadership and responsibility depended on whether I was going to be faithful with those 20 or so kids, 7s to 11s, out in a summer state in Penylan that nobody's ever heard of. But the Lord was testing my heart to see whether I would be faithful in the little responsibility that he'd given me. I wasn't even leading it. I was just helping out. And so I began to suck it out. And I knew that my future depended upon that, because God was watching my heart. So what am I trying to say? For some of you, you need to capture faith in your heart, and it will move you forward and keep you walking into the purpose of God. Some of you have faith, but you need to do something. Now, that's just some of the things I had to do. But there might be some things that you need to do faithfully to align your life in the light of the things that God is calling you and you're hoping for and he's speaking into your life. And make some decisions and get your life on that track. I've seen many people who have tremendous potential and their lives don't come into the fullness of what they hope for because they haven't complied and cooperated with God's word over their life. Now, the third thing I want to talk about is that in order to keep us moving forward in God's purposes, is that we can persevere when times are tough. As you look through these pages of scripture, we see time and time again that when God brings a word or a promise or an intent into somebody's life, at some point in life, after they've captured it by faith, started pursuing that direction, something happens. Adversity, a circumstance, a difficulty that makes it almost impossible for that thing to come to pass, where you think, oh no, it's all going wrong. Moses, he was sent by God to Pharaoh. He just had the burning bush experience. God just spoke to him personally and said, I am, and I'm sending you, the creator of heaven and earth and the master of the universe. He just turned a stick into a snake and a snake into a stick again. He put his hand into his cloak and it turned to leprosy. And so that was good. And he said, do it again. And he put his hand and the leprosy was gone. He knew that God was with him. And so he went to Moses full of confidence because God Almighty had said, tell Moses, let my people go. And he went, Moses, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Almighty God has sent me here to you today. And I say to you in his full authority, let his people go. And Moses went, no. Well, that wasn't according to plan, was it? And he sent him a plague. And he sent him flies. And it turned the Nile into blood and all sorts of things like that. And he still wouldn't let his people go. And only after 10 plagues did he eventually let the people go. And then when Moses was leading the Israelites out from Egypt into the promised land. Have I said something wrong? Yeah, that's right. Pharaoh said no, not Moses. Yeah, thank you. It's my spell check on the front seat here. So there we go. Back to the point. So now there he's leading them out. And we had the desert in front and the promised land ahead. And there's an Egyptian army chasing after them. A Red Sea before them. Then there's a desert. And then there's the promised land. All these obstacles. And even when they got to the Jordan River, just before they went into the promised land, it says that the Jordan River was in full flood. Joseph, you're going to be a president and you're going to be a great leader. And your brothers are going to bow down before you and acknowledge that. So he shares this amazing dream with his father, his brother. And his father rebukes him and the brother rejects him and put him in a pit and sell him off to slavery. Time and time and time again, as you look through the pages of Scripture and see the great promises that people have received, at some point in time, there's a circumstance, there is a crisis, and it's called the crisis of faith that comes against them. And it's in that moment that we have to make a decision and persevere. And the reason why God allows these crises, allows them, I didn't say send them, allows them, is that when we go through a crisis, they're like a test. The Bible says that the Israelites went through the desert and there was no food and there was no water, and they came to a well called Marah, and it was bitter, it was poisonous, and it says, and the Lord tested them there. And we see in the Scriptures that the Lord tests us in the time of crisis. Now, he doesn't test us like an examination to see whether you're going to pass and fail, and if you fail, that's it. No, the purpose of a test from God is to see what is in our hearts. Really, the purpose of a test from God is for us to see what is in our hearts, so that with his help we may deal with it, that we may move on and fully enter into his purposes in our life. The Scriptures say this, that the word of the Lord, or the word that is spoken over your life, is tested like silver in the refiner's fire. So when God's word arrives in your life, then at some point you will go through like a fiery test, a furnace, a difficulty, a challenge. And when silver is tested in the fire, all the impurities come to the surface, so the silver mask maker may skim them off, and that you get the pure deal that is suitable for crafting and working with. So you go through a difficult time. And then what happens? Our hearts are exposed. We can blame others. We can become angry. We can have despair. Fear can come in. We can become greedy, comfortable. We can move into our addictions or sins because of difficulties. And it exposes the condition of our heart. And so we have an opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me, help me, change me in this moment that this crisis has revealed. Help me. And then he moves in our lives because of our humility and confession and casting ourselves upon him. He works that crisis to bring a change in our lives, so that there is no hindrance in us as we come to steward the things that he has for us. And there's no snare, so that we can come into the purposes of God for our lives. Now, the other reason why God allows us to be tested is that although we've received it by faith and we are online and on track and collaborating with his word, he allows crisis to happen so that the fulfillment will only happen with his help. And we can't say, I did that. See, my discipline, my determination, my collaboration, my effort, I did that. No, a crisis says, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm following you as best as I can, but unless you turn up, unless you make it happen, unless you provide, it's not going to happen before. And he says, that's the point. It happens by, I do it, not you. And then God gets all the glory because he is the one who started it and he's the one who finishes it. So, we have the crisis, we have the creation of faith. Some of you need to allow faith to be created in your heart. We have the collaboration with God's word. Some of you need to make some decisions that cause you to align your lives with the purposes of God. Some of you may be in crisis right now. You're doing all the right things, but you're in crisis. And what do? Don't give up. Allow God to change your heart. Throw yourself on him. Hold on to faith. Hold on to vision. Hold on to the purposes of God. Don't jump out of the boat in the storm. Unless Jesus says, walk on the water. Stay in the boat and let him bring peace and bring you to the other side. And you'll end up on the other side a different person. And finally, after all these things, you at some point in time, according to God's perfect timing, will come into the completion of his purposes for your life. What he has promised and what you've hoped for will come to pass. But now, when that happens, the work begins. Because we have to steward and care and manage the blessing that God has brought us into. I am so grateful to God that he has not blessed me with a dog. Seriously. It's not that I've got anything particularly against dogs, but let me tell you honestly, all you dog lovers, I don't want the work that goes with it. I don't want to have to take it for a walk twice a day, good weather, bad weather. I don't want to have to deflee it every now and again. I don't want to have to put that mangy, that lovely thing, into my bath and wash it and have it shake all over the place and all its gunk all over me. I don't want to have to clean up its poop when I'm puppy training it. And when I come into the kitchen and it's bitten the leg off and chewed off the furniture. I don't want to have to go down to Tesco's and come and add to my shopping bill and my basket, you know, pedigree chum. I don't have to do that. When I go on holiday or go on a ministry trip or want to respond to it, I don't have to organize a kennel or somebody to come and feed the thing. I don't want to do that. I don't want the work that goes with a dog. So, Lord, don't bless me with a dog. I'm not prepared for that. But the point is this. When you come into the wonderful purposes that God has for you, that's when the work begins, because we are responsible to steward and manage and maintain the blessing. When we first got married and before we owned our own house, we were renting a property. Now, it's fantastic renting a property, but you guys who don't have your own property yet, don't fret about it. It's fantastic renting a property. You pay your rent, the boiler goes, landlord, will you come and fix the boiler? The fence has broken down. Landlord, the wind's blowing the fence. Will you come and fix it? Oh, we had a leak in our kitchen. Not in the kitchen, but in the floor coming up in the kitchen. If that was my own property, I would have had to have arranged for builders or dug it out myself and find the leak and cement and do all that work. But I just phoned the landlord up. And they came in with their boys because we were paying. I didn't have to manage or maintain very much. But now we own our own house. It's a different story. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. Unless you've got a grandfather like, a dad like mine who mows my lawn. He's amazing. But we have to, I was looking at that fence yesterday. The fence, oh, this summer we're going to have to clear sole the fence again. So you have to manage your blessings and maintain them. Now this is the thing. When you come into the blessings of God, we have to steward and care and maintain and be responsible with the ministries and the purposes and the things that God has given us. That's why all the preparation is important. That's why our coming into all that God has for us can be slowed down if we don't allow that work to take place in our lives, because God's ministries and blessings and purposes in our lives are both gifts, but they're precious, and we have to be responsible for them. That's what the parable of the coins is all about. Jesus told a parable of a king, or let's modernize it, a business leader, who went away and got three of his managers and says, here's £5, here's £10, and here's £15. I want you to manage this and steward what I have given you. And when I come back, I want some investment. So he says, when he comes back to the man who was given £15, what you go, oh, look at that £15, I made 150 for you. Wonderful. Go, no, because you've made 150. Here, I'm going to give you, Jesus says, it's talking about the afterlife, three cities. Oh, I'm going to give you, actually, five businesses to look after. It's the equivalent. He who has been given will be given more if we deal with it faithfully. The man who has been given three, oh, look, I've increased it. I've made £50 for you. And he was given more. But the man who just said, oh, £5, I haven't managed it, I haven't stewarded, I haven't looked after, I haven't done anything with it. He says, you wicked and lazy servant, take it away and give it to the one who will invest it and do something with it. You see, what God is looking for our lives is that when we come into the blessing, we manage it and steward it, and it becomes increasingly fruitful for his glory and for others' blessing and purposes. So that's what the creation of faith That's what the alignment with his word is all about, and the collaboration. That's what being persevering in crisis is all about, and getting character and allowing God to mature us, so that when we come into all that God has for us, when you come into all that God has for you, when his promise over your life comes to pass, it's not just, oh great, fantastic, put your feet up. Now you have the heart and the character and the attitude to take that blessing and make it fabulous and bring him more glory, and you can actually enjoy a greater reward as you reap and sow out of the things that he has given you. So I want to encourage you, open your heart to faith and don't disqualify yourselves because of circumstance. Align your life to what you believe God has spoken to you. Ask yourself, what must I do in the light of God's promise, purposes over my life, whether it's a prophecy or the scriptures that we read daily? If you're in a difficulty and you know God has spoken to you, and that thing doesn't seem as if it's going to happen, but you know in your heart that God has spoken to you, hang on to faith, persevere, don't get out of the boat. And if you've come in to your blessing, and if you're in that thing that God has called you to, steward it well. Because that's not the end of the story. There's more to come. For he who has been given will be given more as we manage it and steward it well. God wants his word, which is active and powerful, to be fulfilled in your life. He's played his part. You can play yours because he is with you to prevail and succeed. Go and journey into the fulfillment of God's word for your life. Amen. Amen.